Melbourne's mean streets.
You could say this was the murder we missed.
A story you'll have to hear to believe.
He said he was a 200-year-old vampire.
Why was Shankara's abbot gunned down before giving evidence?
Two men shot him down. It's a mystery within a mystery within a mystery.
Listen now to this untold true crime story from Adam Shand. The Trials of the Vampire at podcast1.com.au or download the app.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for the Hospital Research Home Lottery, 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, Ru, I'm surprised you're here. I thought you'd still be in the hospital.
Yeah, no, did the surgery.
Did you?
Yeah.
You assisted?
Yeah, I was assisted.
Is he all right, Rory?
No, he'll be fine.
He'll be all right?
Yeah, key old surgery.
So you're heading straight back there after we knock off here at 9?
Belinda's looking after him, and she'll be looking after him. He'll be fine, mate.
Just to toss up, if I wake up in the hospital, do I want to see Ru or Belinda? I think, first person I want to see, I think, is Belinda, actually.
What do you think I'm here for? I left. I got right out of there.
Oh, that'd be frightening.
She said, everything's fine. I'll look after Rory.
Oh, do you think he'll play? Can he get up in time?
Well, Eddie Betts played in 11 days, and Rory's got to play in 9.
Yeah, okay. Touch and go.
So, and Eddie got best of... That's the night he kicked those freakish goals and everyone was worried about how he was going to play. Played his best game for the year.
I guess you're a bit lighter without your appendix.
And Rory's pretty tough. So we'll find out a doctor's opinion, though, throughout the show, not just our gut feel. But I think he'd be 50-50 at this stage. I mean, he's going to go into a game which is going to be very, very tough.
Mm.
So if your insides haven't healed, you think they could split open again.
Yep.
And he could be...
dangerous.
Back behind square one, couldn't you, almost?
Hey, this morning, Jackson Trengove from Port Adelaide will join us. Now, isn't his career sort of hanging in the balance at the moment?
He's one of my favourite Port players and has been for a long time.
Yep.
But a month ago, you would never have thought it.
Mm.
It just happened so quick with the development of a few other kids. All of a sudden, he's on the rope. So he'll join us later on. And I hope he stays at Port Adelaide because he's given so much to him. We've got Big Mal going to join us later on as well. There's a big blue happening down at Henley Beach. There's been the parking meters. We've had Henley Square development.
Mm.
Now there's an idea to throw a heap of sun lounges down on the beach and sort of make it a bit exclusive and
French Riviera.
Crank it up a little bit.
Yeah.
People are not happy.
Wow.
So we'll take calls on that later on as well.
Also, the big coup, Mitch McGovern.
Yes.
His first interview, only Adelaide interview here. He'll come in this morning, which is fantastic news. And well done, Ru, for getting him to come in.
I thought you got it. But anyway, he's going to join us after 8 today. So we'll have a chat to Mitch McGovern about his 3-year contract extension.
Yep, well done. So Ru and Ditts here on Triple M for breakfast.
Ru and Ditts for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Still raining in Houston, Ditts, and Donald Trump's heading over there.
He's gone to Corpus Christi, an area that was hit pretty hard when Hurricane Harvey first made landfall. From there, he'll go on to Austin. He's not actually coming to Houston at this stage, simply because this is still very much a crisis unfolding. As you say, that rainfall is just staggering. The rainfall made a record in the United States today with 49 inches of rainfall, but that's the most ever for a tropical storm. That's about 1,200 millimetres, an entire year's worth of rain in Sydney that's fallen in just in the last 5 days. So it's hard to wrap your head around just how much water there is here, and it just keeps coming. There's just no relief for this city. It's just terrible.
A lot of rain, Ditts.
A hell of a lot of rain. They're saying as well that the actual city of Houston hasn't seen the worst of this yet. So all of this water, so all the outlying areas that are flooding.
It's going to run into Houston.
No, all of that, it's going to run down in there. So the actual city of Houston bracing itself for things to get a lot worse.
Mm, I saw a photo online. It was a shark going down the highway down there, but I think it might have been photoshopped yesterday and some other people getting on and doing their normal things on social media.
Mm.
Another study, Ditts. Another day, another study.
Okay. Did you do this one?
No, and you didn't either. Getting fit in your 40s and 50s is a good thing for men. It'll cut your chances of having a stroke by 50%.
Right.
So never too late to start. Mm-hmm. They're saying get on board and there will be benefits to gain out of it. So it's never too late for us too. I've had a bit of a lean patch lately.
Yeah.
Mm. Bloody winter.
I know.
It really does get you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's very easy to put it off till tomorrow.
Wait for the sun to come out.
Yeah,
we'll say that.
Right, summer campaign. We'll start in the spring. Yeah, spring carnival.
Yeah, spring carnival. Exactly right. Hey, ticket sales for the AFL games unbelievable yesterday. The Geelong Richmond game at the MCG sold out.
What?
Straight away. Sold out.
That's 100,000 people.
They did 85,000 tickets in the first hour of the overall games yesterday. Yep, so don't say anyone doesn't love footy at the moment. There's a record, I think, for Ticket Tech.
So does that mean we'll have 100,000 people at that game?
She sold out.
Hell.
As long as they turn up, Dits, she sold out. Crows got 1,100 left. This is of 6 p.m. last night.
Yeah.
Sydney and Essendon got 1,750. So that's pretty good, really, for the Swannies. Port still got a little bit of work to do, but we knew that might happen. They've got 12,000 to go, but I think they'll soak them up over the next few days. And we always know that this time of year with the Royal Adelaide Show makes it a bit tough because people are out there deciding whether to take their family to the show and look after the kids or go to the footy, and a lot of people can't afford to do both. So,
well, just a reminder what we're doing here, what, next Wednesday, isn't it?
Brilliant. It's next Wednesday. We are giving away more tickets than any other radio station in Adelaide from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. If you are lucky enough to get through to Triple M by ringing 133353, whether it's through our show, the Rush Hour, or through the work day, you will get your choice of Power or Crows tickets. So if the Crows sell out today, which they probably will, you'll get them here at Triple M. That'll be the only place you'll get them.
Hey, something
or
big
dodgy
about
websites that are ripping dodgy, people off.
I was
off.
About to say this. Something, is it ViaGoGo? ViaGoGo? I don't even know because I've never used it.
No.
This website.
That's unusual because you usually find somewhere to get scammed.
That's right. This one hasn't got me yet.
Give them a go, Dits.
But the ACCC are investigating Google, would you believe? The company as big as Google. They're saying that Google isn't doing enough about those sorts of websites. They're, because as you know, Roo, there are schemes and ways that you can pay for your company to come out first in a search.
SEOs, search engine optimization,
thank
I think
you.
They call
thank
that.
You. So because ViaGoGo comes out number one when you search for tickets,
everyone
saying,
thinks they're a reputable company.
Correct. And people are being ripped off all over the place by them, dodgy tickets. So Google are actually in the gun over this.
Right.
So it's going to be a big court case.
Hey, speaking about scams, I got phone called for funeral insurance the other day.
Did you?
Yes, I said, hello.
I gave
you
them your number.
Have you rang Dits, have you?
I said, listen, I don't need any, but my mate Mark.
My mate Mark needs to get stitched up. So I said, mate, I'm pretty comfortable if I cark it, that someone will be able to sort it out.
How good's that?
Thank you, buddy.
Oh, I'm so pumped
they
rang you.
You had a lovely day too, mate. Thanks for calling.
You got a few other calls coming as well.
Now we're off.
I've given your number to a few people.
Dave Benson, Caravan and Camper Trailers. Begin your voyage and live your dreams.
I only have time for one breakfast show.
Roo and Dits for breakfast. The Prime Minister, Malcolm Big Mal Turnbull.
We love it when we go straight to the top, Roo. Let's get the number one man in the nation on the blower. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Roo, and good morning to you, Dits, and hello to everyone on Triple M in Adelaide. It's great to be speaking to the number one station.
Well, that's the reason we've got you on, Big Mal, because you're number one.
That's who I am. I'm the number one man, so it's fitting.
It is.
Well, just make sure you stay there, eh?
I will. I'll try my best.
What'd you get up?
Hand snapping at my heels, though.
What'd you get up to on the weekend?
Well, you know, the big fight was on. Yep. You guys know that I'm a fight fan, so I invited all of my mates over to watch Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor. I turned the back room into a Vegas man cave.
Right.
There were large eskies of Bundy and Coke and ICVBs. There were round girls serving mini hot dogs and party pies. We even had a croupier. It was a terrific time had by all.
What about Lucy?
Well, Lucy wasn't there, and I was purely the boy. So it got a little bit blokey, too.
Big Mal, I don't know if you're telling us the truth or not. Is this fair dinkum, or?
No, it's not, Roo.
Come on.
Lucy won't let me have those kind of parties. She says it leaves terrible marks on the marble in the atrium.
Right.
And, of course, the men can't hit the toilet, so I have to pull out a cork of the Sangiovese, so they've got something to aim at.
Right.
No, I haven't got any friends either, so it was just a normal weekend for me.
I sourced
some heirloom carrots from the farmer's market for my beef bourguignon and watched a pirated copy of Guardians of the Galaxy 2, the home cinema. I get my knockoffs from Sam Dastyari. he torrents and burns for everybody up in Canberra. He's a very busy little man. He's got a lot of deals going on.
Lee Sales got stuck into you last night as well. I saw that on the...
Monday night, she really pantsed me, didn't she? I mean, why do I go on that show? I remember one time I was up in Byron Bay for a little housewarming. Some friends opened a weekender up an 18-bedroom place up on the cliff. And I went to a farmer's market and a tarot card reader warned me to beware of the fire crotch. And I thought the Svengali was tacitly reminding me of being safe to ward off venereal diseases. But now I know that it was a warning of red-headed women.
Yes.
You look at them all in my life. Julia first, Julia Gillard, now Pauline, and now Lee Sales. I mean, you just can't trust a ranger. They'll come at you.
Yeah.
Anyone with white eyebrows, not to be trusted.
But I like the fact you fired up, though. You didn't take it lying down. You were very, very good.
Well, no, you've got to get on the front foot.
Yes.
Dits. You've got to let them know exactly what's going on. And people like that. They want a bit of leadership. Now, you'll probably be wondering what I'm singing along to at the moment.
Have you got yet?
But you know that I love Billy Joel, and I've got his greatest hits in the Bentley Selector.
Mm.
So I was listening to Piano Man the other day, and I've got some issues with the lyrics.
Oh.
I think there's some weaknesses in the plot line there, Billy.
Right.
Now, Paul is a real estate novelist who never had time for a wife. Mm. He's talking to Davy, who's still in the Navy, and probably will be for a while.
Mm.
Well, Paul, if you haven't got a wife, mate, get out of the bar. Sober up. Get on Tinder. Meet somebody.
Right.
It's a pretty good crowd for a Saturday, and the manager gives me a smile because he knows it's me they've been coming to see to forget about life for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, they haven't been coming to see you, Billy. They're alcoholics, mate. They're in a bar to get plastered. It just happens to be a bloke playing piano in the corner. So, I mean, you know, put it in perspective, really.
Yeah,
now, before I go today, guys, I just want to say the Triple M rocks. Well, you're waiting for this one, aren't you?
Yep.
I'm trying to find it. Triple M rocks Kilburn.
Yeah,
that's right.
Kilburn
the home
Killers.
Of Dave Benson Caravan.
The home of Dave Benson Caravan.
You know, if Dave Benson opened a nursery, he could call it Dave Benson and Hedges. But tobacco advertising's illegal, so.
All right.
You're on fire, Big Mal. More
good
of this gold, mate. You'll be Prime Minister
stuff.
Forever.
Number one.
Good on you, Big Mal.
Well done, Big
He's back today, Big Mal.
Ruin Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Brew, got a very, very special guest in the studio.
I haven't done a cartwheel for a while, Dits, but I did one yesterday when I heard that Mitch McGovern had put pen to paper and signed for 3 years at the Adelaide Football Club. And I don't think it was just me. I think probably half of the Crow supporter base across South Australia would have been very rapt. And he does join us now in studio. Mitch McGovern, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Well done. Well done. What a big, big decision in your life. I mean, how old are you now?
22.
Yeah, it's a big, big call to have to make at the age of 22. How many months do you think this has been going on? How long have you deliberated for?
It's over 6 months. It would
really
have to be going through my head. I'm glad it's all done now.
Well, you said yesterday that you had a lot of other offers from a lot of other clubs. Are you happy to sort of share how it all unfolds for a lad at 22 years of age to make a decision to stay at Adelaide?
Yeah, most of it comes through my manager, thankfully. But I had quite a few offers interstate, not only back home, but also the east.
In Victoria?
Yeah, Victoria as well.
Sneaky buggers.
Yeah, they popped up on the radar a bit. And just made everything a bit more of a headache for me.
Mm.
So I had options everywhere. But thankfully, I'm at one of the greatest clubs, I think, in the AFL. And the culture that we have at the Adelaide Crows is fantastic and I wouldn't want to leave.
So that's why you signed in. And obviously, there's always more money to go to another club. The clubs have to pay more to try and get players out of a club. So you've knocked back money to stay at Adelaide because of the culture and what success, I take it? Or did you have other offers from successful clubs?
I also had other offers from successful clubs, but I think the trademark and what Adelaide lives for and stands for is what I want to be a part of going forward.
Good on you.
Good
sign. You made the right decision for all the right reasons.
But a tough decision.
It is.
Imagine a 22-year-old lad potentially knocking back 50, 100, 200, 250, 300,000 a year. It's a very, very tough decision for any kid to make. You've got lads that are in that age bracket.
Yep.
It wouldn't be easy.
So what about your family? Your brother's playing great football at West Coast. Gee, that had to have gone through your mind many, many times that you could line up next to your brother and have mum and dad in the stands watching.
Yeah, I think that was one of the hardest decisions that came down to.
Yep.
Family's a huge, they're really, really important to me. My brother and I were really close when we were young, and they had a big influence on my decision. But in the end, Mum and Dad and Jez, they're just happy when I'm happiest. So.
But was he ringing, saying, come and play with me, come over here? Was he getting into you?
No, he left it to me. He obviously did entice me a little bit to come home and pumped up West Coast. how good they are.
Bit hard to pump up them at the moment.
Yeah. Well, they pumped us on the weekend.
So. Gee, didn't he play a great game? He took so many marks on the weekend. I mean, your marking ability, both of you, very, very good. But, gee, he was outstanding.
Yeah, he was very good on the weekend.
Yeah.
You got close to him, too, at one stage. You were outstanding the mark. How does it feel being out on an AFL over? I actually said it when we were watching. I said, it must be weird to have your brother on the opposition of in the AFL when you're grown up kicking the ball to each other as kids in the backyard.
Yeah, well, have you ever been nervous for games, Ruse?
Nervous? Yeah, I used to get nervous every game, no worry.
Well, for some reason, I never get nervous for any game of football.
Right.
Until it's against my brother.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know why. So,
well, big brothers are intimidating.
Yeah. Did he say much to you out on the ground?
No, we don't talk out on the ground unless we maybe get 5 or so minutes that we can chat with the score review that we had. We just had a little chat. And I just asked him about his weight issues, how he's going. So.
Now, tell us about your childhood. You had an interesting upbringing.
Yeah, we spent a few years up Central Desert in the north, West Australia. Grew up in a community called Warburton.
Yep.
My brother and I were the only two white children in the community.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we were quite close when we were younger.
Yep.
And spent a lot of time together and bonded quite well. So,
your dad, your father, which I only just learned, I remember him now, but played for Fremantle back in the 90s, Andrew McGovern. So he went up there to work.
Yep. So he was a sports director up there in Warburton. So the whole family shifted from Perth when dad retired from Freo, went straight up there and sort of copped a bit of a reality check with how they live up there and what goes on.
So, was there any footy there?
Yeah, there was footy. Yeah, yep. That was one of their main sports. That's why Dad moved up there. There was nothing on grass, though. It was all on red dirt, barefoot. So,
gee.
Yeah, we learned a few things off the way that the Indigenous players play and the things that they sort of bring to our game.
Yep.
Well, you certainly can take a few hangers and do those sort of things. I love watching the Indigenous boys. So we've got a big game coming up Thursday night. What about yesterday? Yeah, the great news of you re-signing, but also the negative news on Sloaney. What's going on down there? We've had Eddie Betts and Sloaney. What are we eating? What are we doing down there that's causing it? This is highly unusual.
Yeah, it is quite unusual. There must be something in the air at the footy club because Dougie had one last year as well.
He did. 3 and 2 years.
Yeah, 3 and 2 years. A bit unheard of, but no, I'm sure Sloaney will be fine. We've heard good news so far, and Sloaney is Sloaney. So for me, I'm quite optimistic and I reckon he will play. So.
Looking forward to playing finals. Obviously, everyone does, but this is a huge opportunity for Adelaide. If you can win that first final, have another week off and get into a prelim.
Yeah, huge opportunity for us. And I think that's what Pikey sort of reiterated to us after the loss on the weekend, that we've put ourselves in this position, so we shouldn't be exactly down from the weekend, but we should be looking forward to what lies ahead.
Now, Mel, can we relive that Collingwood moment again, please, with Mitch? I want to have a listen to this again.
12 seconds. He goes inside 50, a mark, and a goal for a draw. Mitch
McGovern!
McGovern's taken!
100,000!
Siren is gone!
Can only be
McGovern
a
will have a shot from 30 directly in front. He leans back on it. He's kicked it. Incredible goal. Incredible finish.
Great highlight. Now, you said you don't get nervous. Tell us about that moment.
Good question.
Yeah, no, I was pretty calm with that one. Now, I've been doing a fair bit of work off field with my goal kicking. As soon as I took that mark, I was...
Reset?
Yeah, pretty pumped for it. I was just a bit flat. Like, if you watch the footage, I tried sprinting off the mark.
You did.
Hoping I got enough time for the win. As soon as I heard the siren go, it was a bit flattening that we couldn't win, but... went back and luckily I kept me nerves.
It's one of those dream things, isn't it? When we're all kids in the backyard, the siren's gone and we want to kick the winning goal. I mean, that was to draw a game, but it's quite similar.
Yeah, quite similar. Jez and I were in the backyard. That's all I can remember. He's taking hangers and kicking goals after the siren. So,
we might have to get him over to play for Adelaide. He's a free agent next year. Thanks for joining us, Mitch. All the best in the finals. Congratulations on signing on. You've made a lot of Adelaide supporters very, very happy. All the best in the finals.
Thanks very much. Cheers, guys.
Good on you. Mitch McGovern, our special guest, ruined it here on Triple M.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Pressure point!
Ruin Dits, $1,000 pressure test.
Righto, hasn't gone off for a while, Ru, has it?
No, would you? Let's go to Sullivan's Beach. G'day, June.
Good morning, how are you?
Not as good as you if you win $1,000, June.
I've got my fingers crossed. I've got my toes crossed. I'm going to the Cairo later, so I'm ready.
What's wrong? You got a bad back or neck?
I have. Yeah, both.
Both. Oh, all right. Good. Right. Okay.
Now, we always ask this question. O'Sullivan or O'Sullivan's Beach?
It is O'Sullivan, but, you know, people just say Sully's.
Sully's. Yeah, Sully's. There you go. Yeah. The locals. Yeah, right. Now, June, exactly. Very important question. What are you up to today?
Well, after I've taken the dog down to the beach for a walk, I'm off to Cairo.
Yep.
And then I'm having a mini facial, and then I've got parent-teacher interviews.
Oh, are you a teacher or are you a parent?
A parent. Righto. Three kids.
Righto.
Oh, you look good after a facial.
No, not really. They, you know, they don't do the makeup. They just do the facial.
Right. All right, June, let's see if we can get you $1,000. Now, because you live down at O'Sullivan Beach, right, mm-hmm. a lot of people, I presume, would go fishing down O'Sullivan Beach, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In 30 seconds, 10 fish we could catch in the sea off Adelaide.
Whiting, snapper, garfish. Shark. let's see.
Tommy's.
That's right. Yeah. My son says killer whales.
See the flathead?
You can't catch them.
The flathead. Yeah, they're good off Kangaroo Island.
Okay. All right, let's go to the adjudicator.
Good try.
Nice try, June.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7
correct.
7 correct,
June.
Right,
that's not bad. My daughter's anaphylactic to seafood, so that's not bad effort.
Oh, very
right.
Good.
Hey, we've got tickets to the Royal Adelaide Show for you anyway.
Wonderful.
Yeah, exactly.
Good on you, June.
So head on down there and have a look at the show with the kids.
Go well at the Cairo today.
Yeah.
Thanks, boys.
And
love
good luck with
you
the facial.
You.
You'll be a new woman.
Do you enjoy getting your neck cracked, or do you panic just before she twists it?
I close my eyes and panic.
Yeah, okay. But you need it done. All right, yeah. Good luck. Have
good
a
on
good
you,
day.
June.
Thanks, boys. Have a good
well
day.
Done. Good on you.
If,
you too.
If anyone else wants to go to the Royal Adelaide Show, you can pre-purchase your tickets and save up to 15% when compared to gate prices. So the Royal Adelaide Show coming up Friday, isn't it? I think this week.
Hi, I'm Mark Boris. Every single day in Australia, people are busting their guts and starting and running their own businesses. It's a big deal. 60% of Australians are hired by small to medium-sized business owners. These guys are doing their bit, buying stock, hiring people, and paying their taxes. So what is it like to start your own business? How do you go from just running a business on the side after work to owning something much bigger? How do you make it your future? Join me on The Mentor, a weekly show on Podcast One where I speak to Aussie business owners who are working through just that. I find out what makes them tick. I help them work out their next steps for their growth and for their future.
The Mentor with Mark Burris. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Triple M on Ruined Dits.
Goes to Jackson Trengrove. He can actually have a shot on goal if he wants. And as easy as you like, he kicks the first goal.
It's Port Adelaide's Jackson Trengrove.
For Comwire IT. Complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Oh, good morning, Jacko.
G'day, boys.
Now, I've got to say, looking at you this morning, you've got your beautiful little girl in here. This is Sophia.
Yeah, little Sophia. She decided to wake up pretty early this morning, Dits. So the missus said, take her in with you because I want a bit more sleep. I'm doing the good thing this morning.
But I was about to say, everything that's happening at the moment with your football, this surely takes care of everything. I mean, just all the cares of the world are gone because she's so beautiful. When you have little kids like this, isn't it just, it gives you a different perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely does, mate. The last couple of weeks have been pretty tough for me personally. The boys have been playing some good footy, but no matter what, you come home to a little baby that doesn't know whether you've got a game or you haven't got a game. So it's definitely rewarding, and they always smile at you, which is beautiful.
Well, you should be very proud. She's gorgeous, beautiful little girl.
Yeah, 11-month-old, sitting here grabbing the microphone and looking at Dad.
Uncle Roo, Uncle Ditz.
A little bit different. Ah, a little smile.
A couple of coughs there.
Yeah. It's a little bit different to what you look like in the middle of the oval when you're roughing up blokes, Jacko, but we all have our little soft sides. How are you going? You haven't been selected for a couple of weeks. You've played really good footy in the SNFL, so you've done everything right. we've been talking about whether they'll bring back experienced players for the finals or whether they'll go with Dougal Howard and Young Marshall. Have you had a chat to Ken about where he thinks he's going to go with football, with selection next week, or has he just said keep training hard and you know we'll see what happens?
Yeah, at the moment it's basically just wait and see. It's obviously still a week and a half or nearly almost 2 weeks before the game, so at the moment it's just wait and see. He sort of hasn't given me too much. My job was to go out and play really good footy in the Sandful on the weekend, and for the last couple of weeks, you know, I've performed really well in that role. So I've given myself the best opportunity for Ken to pick me for the first final.
Are you the sort of bloke that belts the door down? Do you go and see him every Monday and say, right, what's going on? Or are you trying to just let it all take its course?
No, I'm probably the first one. I like to know where I sit early on in the week. So, you know, probably when you find out that you're not playing in the seniors, it probably takes me a day or two to, you know, get in the right headspace to be able to come back and train really well. You want to bring a positive attitude to the Sandful and what Chad's doing with the boys there. So it probably takes me a day or two. I think Ken understands that that I probably need that day or two to get my head in the right space. So Ken's been really good with that, letting me know early on in the week what's going on. Hoping it's a different answer this week going into the first final.
Jack, I've always found you a very positive, friendly, happy sort of bloke. But have you been angry, or is it more just a bit frustrated?
Oh, it's probably frustrating. I mean, I haven't been put in this situation, you know, ever in my career. Yeah, so it's probably one of those things that you really find out what type of man you are in these sort of spots, and you really find out who your friends are. Your friends are always ringing when you're going really well, and that's probably been the thing that has probably surprised me as much as anything, that, you know, the true friends that you really know that are your true friends really come out in this tough stage. They come out to Richmond Oval and watch you play in the Sandful and, you know, give you the positive feedback that you need. So for me, it's, you know, it's been challenging, but at the same time, I've just focused on what I can control, which is playing really good footy and giving Ken, you know, no option but to pick me. So I've tried to do that, and, you know, I've put myself in a really good position to be picked for this first final.
It's a big decision that you've got to make in terms of where you finish off your football career. So it's a huge decision for what you've got to make, whether you start the Port Adelaide Football Club or go back to Victoria. And, you know, you're under pressure to sign that contract at some stage in the future or even now. You know, everyone's speculating whether you'll be there or not. Do you go and ask the questions to the club about what are you going to do? Are you going to play younger players, or am I still in the best side, or am I now a backup player if Dougal Howard's fit and Young Marshall's fit? Do you ask those questions when you're deciding whether you're going to stay at Port? Or I know you might not want to tell us, but whatever you're happy to share it.
I think that will be the conversation, Rue, at the end of the season. We haven't quite had the conversation yet because you know, my focus has been on just getting back in the side. But yeah, you're spot on. At some stage, we're going to have that conversation. I feel my best footy is definitely, you know, in our best 22, and whether the club sees that as well.
That's the question.
We'll definitely have the conversation. I'm a realist with what, you know, football landscape sort of sees, and if there is an opportunity, if there is not going to be an opportunity, then obviously I'm going to have to look at trying to find a new home.
Have they offered you a contract to start the Port Adelaide Footy Club?
There's been them and my manager have been in negotiations throughout the year. It's probably changed a little bit in the last couple of weeks.
So have you put it off?
Well, we're waiting to the end of the season. Probably both parties. It's not really, you know, one or the other. We've just said, let's get back in the side, play some, you know, get back to playing some really good footy, and then we'll have a chat at the end of the season and see where, you know, my side of things are at and where their side is at.
Beautiful. All right, we'll come back after the break. I've got to hit you with a very big Port Adelaide bit of mail.
Ooh.
That
hello.
I need to ask you.
Is it a rumour or a fact, or?
I think it's closer to fact than rumour, but Jackson can tell us one way or the other. It revolves around a very key player that might not be playing for the rest of the year.
Ooh, okay. Jackson Trengove and Sophia join us thanks to Comwire IT. First sponsored football baby. Yeah, she's on the payroll.
Triple M on Ruined Dits.
Goes to Jackson Trengove. He can actually have a shot on goal if he wants. And as easy as you like, he kicks the first goal.
It's Port Adelaide's Jackson Trengove.
For Comwire IT. Complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Righto, now you know Jacko, Roo's been at the hospital all night. He sat by Rory's bedside just to make sure everything went well.
I heard that,
check his temperature.
Yeah.
Make sure his heart was beating.
Yeah. But you heard some mail. You must have got this from a nurse, did you?
Oh, well, maybe I did. my mail is, and he's a good fella, Jack Homsch flew interstate to either have an operation or to inquire about an operation on his hip, because he's had hip troubles, and that he won't be playing for the rest of the year. Now, it may well be wrong. I'm just throwing
Hang
it
on.
Out there.
How good's this source?
I think it's pretty good source, but I might be wrong.
Unless you hear it from the bloke's mouth. No,
Now, look at us in the eye. Don't look away.
That's the first I've heard.
Has he had an ongoing hip issue?
He has had some hip issues.
Has he already had hip surgery? Just don't go backwards because your daughter's right behind your chair.
All good. I think he might have had a little bit last year, but from all reports, he came back through the sandfall, has played two games there. He had 1 week off with sore groins, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the first I've heard of him.
Okay. Is there a chance this has happened?
There's a chance that he might have gone to see a surgeon, but I wouldn't have thought that he would be finishing the season early. I think he'd finish the season off because his groins are one that you can play through.
It's his hip.
Sorry. That's how much I know
about.
That's how much I know about it.
Good for you if he is there, because there's one less bloke you have to worry about.
Well, that's it. Well, he's fighting for a spot in the sandflow as well. So that's the first I've heard of it.
We'll wait and see. So that's the mail I've got.
Let that play out. But I would have thought that even with the hip injury, and he was saying that he was sore, but he was still able to play a couple of weeks ago. So I'd
Not at the level he usually plays at, obviously, because he's one of your first defenders picked in when he's fit, and he's been struggling to get a game down back.
He has been restricted a little bit, but I would have thought that he'd play out the season, whether it be in Magpies or come back in.
Wait and see if the mail's right.
All right, Jacko, Saturday week, West Coast here at the Adelaide Oval. What percentage chance are you of being in the side? Are you 80? Are you 90?
50-50, I'd say.
50-50 still?
At this stage, I haven't had a good conversation with Ken yet, so I can't really give you anything to do with that. We've got our main session tomorrow, which we'll probably know a little bit more from that. I'm hoping to have a good conversation with Ken and see where I'm at, whether I'm a chance or I'm not a chance, and then whether it be Sandful or AFL where I'll be playing some sort of finals.
Jacko, listen to Triple M this Friday morning at 7:40.
7:40.
We'll have Ken Hinckley on.
Give me the mark, boys. Make sure you hit him hard. Maybe give him a coffee early.
I can't believe you've dropped Jackson Trengo.
I'm going to go into his office and give him a nice present and see how we go. But we'll have an honest conversation. As I mentioned before, my form over the last couple of weeks in the sandfall has been, good enough to warrant my spot back, which I'm hoping to get.
All Australian selection today in Melbourne. Paddy Ryder, Robbie Gray, I think a certainty.
Tommy Jonas,
I reckon will struggle to get
certainty.
A gig. No. Charlie Dixon must have been close.
Yeah, I think he was a bit stiff.
But there's a lot of big key forwards.
The forwards that are in there are very good. I mean, you've got Lance Franklin, who kicked 10 on the weekend.
Josh Kennedy. Joe Danaher, Ben Brown.
It's a tough one to get it. I think, as you mentioned, I think Robbie Gray is an absolute certainty. Paddy would have to be a certainty, wouldn't he? He's had a really good season. I think Sauce was probably the only one that sort of, did some damage on Paddy this year. So it's going to be an interesting one. And hopefully Tommy Jonas, I think his defensive roles all year have been pretty sound. So
yep.
I think he'd have to be a chance as well.
Jacko, thanks for coming in, mate. Good luck with selection. We genuinely do hope you get back in the side, mate.
I'm hoping to.
You're
boys.
Very important.
We'll see how we go.
Good on you, Jacko. Cheers.
Keep your chin up. And thanks for bringing in little Sophia. She's beautiful. Well
beautiful.
Done.
Triple M.
All thanks to the Hospital Research Home Lottery, Roo. If you don't mind, a house at Malvern, a Range Rover Sport SE in the driveway, and $1 million cash up for grabs.
Just about set there.
Get involved now. Go to homelottery.com.au.
Just about retire after that one, Dits, if you can pull that off. Hey, they're looking at a new idea down at Henley Beach, and Henley's had a bit of press over the last couple of years. They spent $6 or $8 million down at Henley Square and did a redevelopment there that some people loved, some people didn't love.
Well, some people couldn't see the difference, they reckon.
Yeah, they reckon, but a lot of people liked it and said it looks fantastic at night, but it caused a bit of a stir for some of the businesses there while they were doing it.
Yep.
Then they've had parking meter issues only the last couple of weeks where they want to charge $2 an hour for people to park in the area. And now we've had a business association of Henley Beach come up with an idea to turn part of the Henley Beach into something similar to the French Riviera. So Henley meets the Riviera, they're calling it, where they've got a plan to put around 100 sun lounges on Henley Beach. They want to trial it on Fridays and Saturdays, where an area where the businesses just in the area can pay for their own lounges and umbrellas in the area. They can serve food and drink on the beach on these days, and trial it like an sort of like an outdoor dining area where it'll be roped off, and you could have a glass of wine, you could have a dip platter, laying down on your sun lounge and get sort of waited on.
Right.
But it's not like a, they're saying it wouldn't be like a party scene, it's not going to be like a, you know, loud music and, you know, carrying on. It's more of a, you know, relaxing sort of, place to go during the day and get a drink and have a nibble and sit down and enjoy Henley Beach.
Mm.
With table service.
Sounds reasonable.
It does sound reasonable.
One thing I'd say, I'm a bit sort of divided. I'll tell you why. Because what I like about our beaches here, and when people come out from Europe, is that our beaches are the best in the world. Seriously. If you go to
Amalfi?
Yeah. No, but...
It's like rocks.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all rocks.
Exactly. I lived in on the south coast of England for a while, Brighton. It's pebbles. Like, hard as... You can't even sit on it. Like, it's awful.
Yeah, I went to Amalfi Coast. It's in Italy, and... I thought this, you know, it's got to be magnificent. It's the most talked about place in the world, and you are laying on rocks the signs of the old tombolas and marbles or whatever.
So our beaches are the best, and you know what? They're unspoilt. And one thing that also amazes me: if ever you have a visitor from Europe, go for a walk along Henley or Grange, and they'll look along the beach, and you know the next person you see is about 300 metres away. They just look at you and go, "This is unbelievable." Whereas you go to Spain or one of those resorts. You're lucky to find a postage stamp part of the size of it to put your towel down.
True.
It's so packed. So a part of me thinks, please just leave our beaches how they are.
Yeah. Well, they certainly can't have the whole area down there. It's got to be
one little spot.
Yeah, one spot which is in walking distance of these restaurants. You'd think it'd be okay as long as there's plenty of room for everyone, whether they want their own towel, their own picnic basket, their own water bottle, or if you want to sit on a lounge like this and sort of get sport and crank it up to another notch or whatever.
So, Roo, if you and I are down there and we having a game of beach cricket.
Yep.
And I keep hitting you for six, and I hit the ball, the tennis ball over, and it hits someone on the scone. Is that a problem or not? Are they going to get uppity, the people having their champagne or their...
No, well, if you know you're going to face me, you probably just take the wickets back a bit further so you can continue to hit your sixes,
right?
And I'll put a fielder just in front of sun lounges as well.
Fair enough.
But I can't see the negatives here. As long as it's not too big and look like a, look stupid, it's got to, if you're going to build this or set it up, it needs to obviously
blend.
Fit the style of area that they're all trying to get.
So it's not a bit too elitist? We're not getting a bit flash?
Look, I think we've got to be open-minded about things like this. I saw something on the news last week in Melbourne. They're thinking about building a swimming pool in the Yarra.
Yeah.
At the front there, like what they do at Icebergs in Sydney.
Beautiful.
And I think it's a great idea. I think we should do something like that in the Torrens if it all stacks up.
Well, good idea.
Imagine going down there in the middle of summer. You're working in the CBD. You can go down and get changed and go and swim a K at lunchtime.
Now, Roo, do you know what Festival Theatre used to be? Swimming pool.
Is that right?
The City Baths, it was called. Yeah. How good's that? Imagine if we could go back to something like that.
Why wouldn't we look at stuff like that?
And you know Henley Beach had a swimming pool as well.
What do we do down there at the moment at Torrens?
Nothing.
Nothing.
No. Not much.
But Henley Beach, there's miles and miles of bloody beach everywhere.
Yeah.
If you put 100 sun lounges there, how much area is that going to take up?
All right. Is this a good idea? 133353. Please give us a call. What do you think?
Trial 50 of them if you're worried about the size of it.
Yeah. It's only on a Friday and a Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7:18, Henley Beach with a slice of the French Riviera.
What drink do you want, dits?
Sauv Blanc, please.
Sauv Blanc. Yeah. I'll just have a beer, thanks, and a bowl of peanuts, thanks. Let's go to Parafield Gardens. G'day, Kev.
Yeah, g'day, mate. How are you?
What do you think of this idea?
Mate, I think it's a great idea. I think, go down there, smash a couple of red cans, but also it gives somebody else a job because they've got to set up the chairs, they've got to serve you, so it also gives a couple of people a job as well, and I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely, and obviously we don't want people having 15 cans down there and getting rowdy and all that, but plenty of fun down there. What if, say, friends were coming from the country? Dits haven't got room to pack their own umbrella and lounge, have they?
No, I suppose not.
They could go down there.
Yeah, all right. What would you want to pay, though, Roo? What do you think you should pay for the privilege of having a deck chair and a brolly?
Well, you'd say hire it per hour or something, would you, I suppose?
I don't know.
Probably.
I think that's what happens overseas. I don't think it's free.
$10-$20 to have a lounge there, and plus, and then if you're paying a little bit more for per hour for it, then you'd want your drinks and food at normal prices, or get your land just for not a lot and pay a little premium for service.
Okay.
Perhaps something like that. It's got to be achieved. Well, otherwise no one's going to use it anyway, isn't it? So let's go to Nord. G'day, Anna.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, Anna. What do you think about sort of giving something a little bit different down to Henley Beach?
The idea itself is probably good, but the area I understand that they're planning on using is right around the jetty. They're also planning on fencing it off, so if you wanted to actually go and sit there, you wouldn't be allowed to unless you paid.
Yep.
Also, when they're talking about making it like the Riviera, well, the Riviera and most of the beaches in Europe are private, so you do have to pay to actually get on there.
Yep.
That's the beauty of Australian beaches.
Yep.
You don't have to pay. So while I think the idea is probably a good idea, there are things that are making it elitist. There are going to be, you know, you're going to take away the prime area around the jetty. With little kids, that's where you want to go because that gives you immediate shade. Because not everybody takes their own umbrellas and things down there. They want to take the best part of the beach.
What if they did an area, Anna, that just took, say, I don't know, 15% of the whole area, and still had plenty of other area for free people to go down an area where kids can run around and all that. If it was just a separate little area that didn't impose too much, would you be up for it then?
I think it'd be a great idea, but my problem is that they want the prime part of the beach because they say that that's the closest part to the restaurants. That's the part that is where everybody wants to go, and if they fence it off, and basically they have said that if they take that area, if I wanted to go down there and put my towel down there, I wouldn't be allowed to because that is their area.
Good call, Anna.
Yep.
And what we haven't taken into account, Roo, is that if we went to the beach and you and your family were there, I'd want to be fenced off.
Yeah, exactly. And so would we. We wouldn't want you coming over and stealing our food. Let's go to Hope Valley. G'day, Rock.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Good, Rock. What do you think of this idea?
Yeah, look, I just got back from Italy and I experienced it firsthand. And yes, they do have fenced off areas, but they're like a beach club where you pay a membership.
Yeah.
But there is areas there for the general public. And like for $5 a bed and $5 for an umbrella, euro, you could have the umbrella and the bed for the whole day.
Really? And they have just stacks of beds though, don't they?
Yeah, well, see, where I went, it was in a confined area, but there was plenty of room for everybody. And I think at Henley, we got a lot of coastline, you know, and I reckon it'll be a great idea. And in some places I saw, at the bottom of the umbrella, it had a built-in esky.
Yep.
You could put your own stuff in too, you know.
But
you didn't have to buy from the shop. You could bring your own gear.
Yeah, but let's hope we never, ever get to the point where we have beach clubs where you have to pay or be a member. Let's not go down that track, please.
Okay. Yeah. Why do you think that?
Because the beach is for everybody.
Yeah, but no, but you don't think you can have a little area, separate area where you could do things like that?
That just sounds un-Australian to me. Seriously, it really does. That's so elitist.
So you think it should be 100%
free
everywhere?
I'm a member of the beach club. What sort of tosser would you be to say, I'm a member of
the beach club? So what's the difference between having that or having a swimming pool where you pay to go in the Torrens or something like that? I'm only speaking out loud here because I haven't thought about this. What's the difference?
A swimming pool needs maintenance and staff, so you pay for that privilege. If you want to be a member of a swimming club or a swimming pool, come on, our coastline is for everyone, surely. Do you really want to have clubs where I'm a member of the beach club?
I don't know. Is it different to going to a restaurant on the beach or?
Yeah, come on.
I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. I'm not for it or against it. Let's go to Engle Farm. G'day, Ollie.
There you go.
What do you think, mate?
Yeah, I agree. It's got to be free. You want to sit there. You got to have something to eat or something. And I think it would just liven up the area, you know, because I've been to Croatia and it's just so lively. You just get off the beach and there's something there to eat. Like, you don't have to go half a kilometre up off the sand and then into like where all the restaurants are. So the closer it is to the beach, the better, I reckon.
So what's the best part of Croatia? I know a lot of people say that's one of the best parts of the world. Mm. So you can just get everything taken down to the beach, can you?
Yeah, you just the water's there and about 15, 20 metres away is like a big strip of restaurants, you know what I mean? So it's beautiful. It's, they're just always alive, and you see people walking like across, and it's just Henley Beach is nice, but it just needs a bit more excitement there. It's just okay. Nice restaurants there in the centre there, but I like a bit like at like Glenelg, it's a nice setup there as well. So
good on you, Ollie.
Thanks, Ollie.
Thanks, Ollie. Let's go to Redwood Park. What do you think, Bill?
Yeah, the thing I feel sorry for is the poor cafe owners. They, if they have chairs and tables out in public area, they actually have to pay for it up to about $600 a set.
Yep.
So why not let them put the tables and chairs out for free rent, and then there's more tables and chairs for people to sit at, lounges, whatever, and they can look after them and service them.
Yeah, I would have thought this they'd get first crack at being able to service these people down there anyway, I would have thought, but I don't know
yeah,
that.
At the moment, they get charged if they have a table or chair out there.
And they get supervised, Bill, to make sure you're drinking properly and smoking and all that stuff. So it'd have to be policed, and all that comes at a cost and all of that sort of stuff. So, yeah, this is not without, all the normal regulations that cafes and pubs have to go through. So that would all have to happen for sure.
Yeah, but I mean, at the moment, the cafe owners aren't expanding onto the public areas because if they put tables and chairs down, they're not allowed to police people who aren't patrons from sitting there.
Yeah, they're all the regulations that I'd have to look at.
Yeah.
All right, Bill, thanks for your call. Some good calls there, Ruth.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's worth pursuing for sure. I think something different's good, but absolutely we need to make it an area and keep most of it for free people and be able to go down with families and do what they've done for ever.
Yeah.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
8:18 it is. Now, Ru, we know that Eddie Betts played, 11 days after an appendix operation?
Sure did.
Rory hasn't got that long, Rory
Sloane.
He's
got 9 days.
Can he play?
Yes. Well, let's get an expert on. Let's get Dr. Peter Larkins on. Good morning, Doc.
Morning, Rui. Morning, Dits. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks for
coming. Something in
on.
The water in Adelaide, yeah. You blokes over there. What's going on?
Yeah. Just on that, what actually causes appendix to need to be taken out?
Well, it's a blockage in the tube itself. So a piece of food, a cherry pip, an olive pip. I don't know what Rory's been eating, but something obstructs the little tube and it swells up and it can burst, which he didn't have it because that's a lot worse and you get a lot more sick and it takes longer to get over. So it's really a little tube attached to your bowel that's left over from the days when we used to chew the grass, apparently, Roo. You don't really need an appendix because it sort of flies under the radar a bit. It doesn't because, we don't really talk about it very often. And over the years, there's been a few people like Jimmy Bartel and people that have had them out, and they played 2 weeks later, missed two games, in play.
Right.
And obviously the Crows have got their recent experience with in July with Eddie, and he was training on day 12 and playing,
Apparently it's not as bad as Eddie's.
No, exactly. So it's a clean appendix. So what I mean by that is it didn't burst. They got onto it very quickly. He's had the keyhole surgery, which is just the little, tiny little split that they put in the side of the abdomen to go in with the camera, a bit like when you do a knee. So it's all that's in his favour. But still, it'd be a world record to come back and play on day 9 because he'd have to be training on day 7. And that's when the decision will be made. I reckon this time next week, by Tuesday, he'll know whether he can run around and not feel sore.
Now, Doc, I had mine out when I was 18, so that's a few years ago now, and I've got an incredibly high pain threshold. Massively high.
But back then,
it was actually a big operation, and I was sidelined for weeks and weeks and
weeks.
Well,
I'm assuming...
Yeah, they had to cut me open, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to say, you've got that 2-inch slash on your abdomen where they go in through the muscles and through the abdomen, and that was the standard.
Thought to get through those muscles too.
Yeah, it would have been that 6-pack or the 8-pack, or probably a slab now, is it, Chris?
It is.
But, those days, that's right, and it was a 6-week procedure. And so we wouldn't have even been talking about an AFL player coming back because of the stretching and the reaching for an overhead mark and twisting and all those things where the muscles are split and got a repair. But we're in a totally different era of surgery now, and so the advances of that. And having said that, as I said, it's still going to be really, really a quick recovery for Roy. But because he wasn't sick, it wasn't a burst appendix, there was none of the inflammation through the whole lining of the abdomen that occurs when you get a really bad burst appendix. It'll be the neatest and cleanest way to have it. But there's still going to be soreness there. There's still a little incision that's got to heal up, and that can get infected if he does the wrong thing. So there's a few little boxes to tick over the next 4 or 5 days. But don't be surprised if he's jogging and having a run early next week. And then it's just the medical staff will do the right thing at the Crows. Ideally, you know, the Crows win without him and he gets that sort of space.
Yeah. What about if he comes back and plays, he takes a pun, he's sort of going, yep. Should I, I'll play, it's a big game. What could he do? What damage could he do internally if
nothing
wasn't
drastic.
Properly healed?
I mean, that's the other thing, nothing drastic. I mean, obviously where the appendix is removed from the where it's a little side tube coming off the big bowel, if you can imagine, there's going to be a little wound there that heals up. There's a lot of blood supply there. Those wounds heal really, really quickly. But, you know, he could split that and get some bleeding inside and get an infection. He could split the little incision where he's got it through the muscle, where they've gone then through with the camera to look inside. So there's still things that are still going to be healing. He's not going to be fully healed inside, you know, come day nine, or certainly he'd have to train day seven or day eight, Roo, as you know. Mm. He's not just going to turn up and play on Thursday night having not even put his boots on. Mm. So I think...
50-50 by the sounds of it.
Touch and go. Absolutely. I was about to say, Zag, it's a touch and go. He's possible to play, but I think it's still at way too early to call. And, you know, I think if it's a 50-50, they'd probably say, let's not take the risk, because I think that the chance of him having a setback and then not being available for a longer period of time is very real. I reckon it's still a possibility, and that's the nature of having had a very clean laparoscope, as it's called, to go through there. And, he would be the quickest return if he happens to do it.
All right. Thanks, Doc. Thanks for joining
us. Good luck.
Keep
in touch,
Peter
Larkins.
There you go. Thanks, Doc. So, Roo, you don't have to sleep at the hospital again tonight. He'll be okay.
Yeah, no.
All right. Leave him be. He'll be all right.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
827 Ruined Dits here. Thanks to the Hospital Research Home Lottery. Speaking of hospitals and research, Roo, what about this story this morning that we're reading in the paper?
This brought a smile to my face when I read the advertiser this morning. Fresh IVF hope for couples. When you get into your 30s and 40s, you know quite a few people that have struggled to have kids, and you know the pain they've gone through. They end up mentally exhausted and tired. They end up financially exhausted as well, and they end up in a pretty bad way. But there's new hope, apparently, Dits, where they can pick the better eggs to use.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can do that and give people a higher chance of having a baby, well, that's just unbelievable news
and
for so many people
too.
Out there.
All right, let's find out more about this. This is local research as well, which we should be very proud of here in South Australia. Dr. Mel Sutton-McDowell, Adjunct Research Fellow at the Adelaide University. Dr. Sutton-McDowell, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, this is a very uneducated question to ask first up. Please explain Adjunct Research Fellow. What does that title mean?
So I'm still associated within the university, but I've actually just started a new job 2 weeks ago. So I'm still part of the university, but.
All right, you're connected.
Yeah. I'm connected.
Righto.
Yeah,
Doctor, tell us about what the Adelaide researchers have found here.
Yeah, well, to quote a colleague of mine, at the moment, the best way that people can, or embryologists can pick embryos to be transferred following the IVF process is equivalent to having a doctor's appointment at 10 o'clock. They'll walk into their doctor's surgery at 10 o'clock. The doctor will look at his watch and say, well, you're on time, look you up and down and say, well, you look healthy, so you must be healthy. So this is an embryo selection tool, which is highly subjective. So we've actually come up with a way of looking at the metabolism, so the activity of the embryo, and doing that in a non-invasive way. So we don't need to actually touch the embryo itself. And hopefully this will lead to picking better embryos to be transferred, and that will hopefully lead to increased pregnancies and increased babies.
Fantastic. Now, Dr. Mel, I've got some friends of mine, and the wife fell pregnant late, what I'd call late on. I think she was about 40 years of age. And what happened was she actually lost twins because they did this invasive sort of injection, I think, into the womb. It was a test they did. Is this the sort of thing we're talking about? Is this the same test? Does it take away that sort of invasiveness?
No, so that's actually, if it's what I think it is, that's a test that's happened once you're pregnant.
Yep.
This is actually a test that will hopefully be able to be applied within the IVF clinic.
Oh, so before, of course, right.
Before a patient is pregnant.
Yep.
So,
okay.
at the moment, like I said, an embryologist will look down a microscope and look at the appearance of the embryo, or they can do an invasive biopsy, so actually take some of the cells of the embryos and look at the genetics before they transfer the embryo. So we're hoping that this technology in the future could replace both of those.
So, Doctor, do we know this is going to work, or is it at the stage where we hope it's going to work?
More hopeful rather than no.
Yep.
So this work was actually done using cattle embryos, which are actually quite similar to, yep, to humans. Before this kind of technology can be applied to the clinic, we need to do animal transfer studies, so actually mm-hmm. transfer the embryos into recipients and see what happens.
Yep. So if,
but it's very promising.
And what sort of time frame are we looking at to get a bit of a clearer picture? A year or two?
Probably years, I'd say.
Yep. Okay. All right.
But still, Dr. Mel, we've got to be proud that this sort of thing is being done here in Adelaide, in South Australia.
Yeah.
It's groundbreaking, which is fantastic.
Where does this stuff get done? What building are we doing all this research?
This research was done in the Medical School of the University of Adelaide. So I'm part of the Robinson Research Institute, as well as the ARC Centre of Excellence for Nanoscale Biophotonics, which is just a fancy way of saying...
How's your business card
looking? I did metalwork in year 12.
Adjunct research fellow. Add that. What was that one you just gave us as well?
The big, long acronym.
Yeah.
Centre for Nanoscale Biophotonics.
Yeah.
Which just basically means using light to look at biology.
Right.
And I was very fortunate. This study was with some colleagues at Macquarie University who actually developed the technology, so this special microscope. So
right.
I've been very fortunate.
You're making us sound dumb at the moment. So we've had enough of you, Dr. Mel. Keep coming up with these sort of discoveries and making people have babies. Thanks for coming on.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Good on you. Well done. Dr. Mel Sutton McDowell. That was very interesting.
Very interesting.
Well done.
Yes.
Happening here in little old Adelaide.
Good old Adelaide.
Just give me her title again and what she does.
No, I can't.
Righto.
I'm just going to call her Dr. Mel.
Doc. Thanks, Doc.
We've had a couple of docs on.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for the Hospital Research Home Lottery. 104.7 Triple M.